I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. Away game again for me. In New York. Went to the game, and my streak, my successful curse of going to Raider games at away games continues. I think I've seen the Raiders win once on the road when I've attended, and that long string of losses continues. Raiders went into East Rutherford, New Jersey to take on the Giants, and they played one of their worst games I can remember in a very long time, falling to the Giants 23-16. And Soto, this was everything wrong. What the critics have been saying about the Raiders, what was wrong with them, is exactly what happened to them today. We were 0-4 after byes. Now we're 0-5, lost after bye week. Started the year off strong, fall apart late. This is step one of that happening again. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be like last season or the season before. I'm not saying that coming after a bye is some kind of curse. But the trend of things that have been wrong with the Raiders recently is exactly what happened today at Giants Stadium.
Yeah. I'm pretty concerned. And there's a couple of reasons why. Sometimes things are just hard to shake, you know? And you have it in your mind to where, like, that whole cognitive dissonance, you know, like you're telling yourself one thing, mm-hmm. that you're going to do this, but you always end up doing the opposite, you know, like you look down on people, or you're like, no, I'm not gonna, we're this, we're that, we're positive, we're this, and then you end up being a negative person. Or no, you're an addict, you can't, you know, not smoke, how can you not smoke, like smoking is gross, but you're a fucking alcoholic, like your mentality doesn't match up with your actions.
Sure.
And that's exactly what happened today. When Derek Carr says, we're ready, we're good, we had a great week of practice, we're ready to go, everything's in. And this looked like John Gruden was on the sidelines. And now I can't say for 100% fact, but this looked a lot like years past Derek Carr and Raiders offense. Just The red zone, I mean, the entire game that we played wasn't terrible. Once we got into the red zone, that's when it all fell to shit.
Like, you look at the box score, and it looks like a decent game, right? If you look at just the box score, Derek Carr, 30 of 46, 296 yards, you know, one touchdown, two interceptions. We'll get to the interceptions here in a second.
Fumble.
Jacobs had 5.6 yards per carry, which is great. He had a the screen game was going, mm-hmm. doing well. Darren Waller, 92 yards receiving. Kenyon Drake had a big game, 70 yards receiving. Hunter Renfro was clutch in multiple spots, had a touchdown. Like, you look at the box.
Yeah, like I said.
And it looks like,
wasn't a bad game until we got into the red zone.
But the red zone, the turnovers, the offense just wasn't clicking.
The offense was clicking. They got into the red zone six times. Mm-hmm. They got into the red zone six times. They scored a touchdown. They had three field goals. They missed a field goal. Now, I do think they should have gone for it on fourth and three. But mm-hmm. whatever. They missed the field goal and then the fumble. So that's six trips to the – so it's not like they weren't clicking. They were still moving the ball. But it was very dink and dunk-esque. It was very, like, short. I agree. It's an embarrassing – that's an embarrassing loss. Specifically because this is what we've shown we were as a team in previous years, not let's just say last week, or you know, this is who we've been towards the end of the year. And you can't say, well, it's because of Gruden, because he's of his predictability, and Gruden is really bad in the red zone, and this and that. And like, he's not here anymore. And look,
credit to the Giants DBs who played pretty good coverage. I mean, they didn't play perfect, but it was really hard for Bryan Edwards to get separation. It was really hard for, like, Renfro is Mr. Get Separation with his route running, and even he was, like, blanketed multiple plays. Darren Waller has some dropsies because he was getting covered pretty well. The DBs of the Giants played really, really well, disguised a lot of coverages, and Derek Carr looked kind of lost at times.
He was lost.
And part of that was just he was crazy inaccurate. But
it is the most inaccurate I've seen him. Even in games where he's played worse.
Not under pressure inaccurate. Just inaccurate.
Like a couple of those balls to Waller early were like at his toes. Like he was running one way and he had a full speed and he had to reach down to his toes to catch a ball behind him. Yeah. No one's gonna catch those balls. And he did that to Renfro a couple times. And Derek Carr is normally pretty good rolling out, especially when he's rolling out to his right. And I mean, he had Zay Jones twice, who was coming back to him towards the sidelines, and those throws weren't even close. They were like 5 yards out of bounds. And it just, I don't know what it was, man. Maybe all this off the field stuff finally got to him. He didn't play like himself whatsoever. We cannot win if Derek Carr plays poorly. We just can't do it. And a lot of teams could come back from their quarterback playing poorly, but we just don't have that kind of defense that's going to score for us. We don't have that kind of special team that's going to score for us. We need to have the offense do that, like, exclusively. And, you know, even when we got turnovers, we got the ball in good positions. You know, the defense played okay. One of the things that killed us was, you know, the Giants were 6 for 12 on third down. And a lot of those third downs were like 3rd and 8. Like they were 3rd and longs. They weren't like 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. Like, there was a 3rd and long.
There was a lot of good job. There was a lot of 3rd and 2s as well. Like it was a wide gambit. I mean, they got some easy ones. And that, you know, the Giants, like they moved the ball decent, but they mostly just like took advantage of errors, right? Like that was kind of, yeah. And that's like the type of defense that the Raiders play. And again, it's so hard for me to come down on our defense and say, oh, we need touchdowns, we need turnovers, because they've been so bad for so long and now they're respectable. Like, mm-hmm. I forgot what life is like when you have a pass rush.
Yeah.
We had a pass rush all season with four linemen, right? It's like demanding like your 7-year-old be amazing at calculus. It's like, okay, no. Like, this is where you're at in your progression. Just keep being competent and improving, and we'll be happy. So I can't come down on the defense. Can't really come down on special teams either. AJ Cole, maybe the best punter in football.
Dude, what the fuck was up with that play where he got knocked out? That guy speared him right in the fucking head.
Just cheap shot.
It's fucking ridiculous. And it was like way after the fucking play was over. Yeah. No, I'm not saying that the defense should have done that. I'm saying that's not our defense. So yeah. Derek Carr has to play well for us to win. And he just didn't. I'm not going to say he's shitty. He's not a bad quarterback. He's our quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. He played like dog shit today. Yeah. He almost had 300 yards, but he had 46 attempts. That's like 6.4 yards an attempt. That's awful. That's absolutely awful. He was just wildly inaccurate. I don't know that it was just the whole we didn't have a deep threat, but I'm not going to dismiss that either. Because the Giants were able to keep everything a lot tighter to the line of scrimmage and play everything a lot tighter. Having that deep threat, having that quick, fast receiver to push it pushes everything back a little bit.
That's going to be the easy storyline. That doesn't explain the red zone issues. Like, you don't need to stretch the field when you're in the red zone, and that's where we struggled the most. Like, not having Ruggs doesn't make. Having Ruggs in the field doesn't magically make Carr more accurate. It doesn't make Darren Waller.
That's the thing. That's what I'm saying.
Waller had a couple drops. Yeah, it's like, do I wish we had Henry Ruggs? Sure. Like, does he make the offense better? Absolutely. But it's like, that's gonna be like the mainstream sports media's quick, lazy take. No Ruggs, they fell apart. But that's not gonna be like everyone who hears that all week long that's what's wrong with the Raiders. It's bullshit. And you guys listening know better.
Yeah. This is the time right now where we're going to see what kind of leader football-wise Derek Carr is an amazing leader of men. He's an amazing person as far as keeping you together, keeping you focused, keeping you positive. And that's excellent. That's a great foundation.
Yeah.
But we need that on the field now. We need him to be our leader on the field. And when our leader plays this poorly, we're gonna lose to worse than a 2-6 team.
Credit to Greg Olsen, who made the adjustments mid-game, though, and turned the game into like a running screen play action. They had Derek Carr running an option play. Derek Carr running an option, like Nebraska football in 1993. And it worked. It was like
Tommy Frazier.
Oh, it was great. So that's, I think, a lot of credit to Greg Olsen. It was like, all right, Carr is
dog shit today. Like, he's not good.
He like doesn't have his contacts in or something. And so let's switch the offense up. And again, like you said, the offense was moving. Almost 300 yards passing.
We had six.
Josh Jacobs' best rushing game of the season. Yeah.
We're in the red zone six times. What else do you want as an offense? You're in the red zone six times. Mm-hmm. We have to – and I want to put to rest anything before week five of this year. Mm-hmm. Over, like, let's just focus on here moving forward, because now this, it's nothing about Gruden or play calling or any of that shit.
Yeah.
Carl, stop. Stop. Okay.
Stop what? What would Carl do?
It seems like he's like trying to defend the defense. I'm not blaming the defense. I'm 100%. This is the offense. This is the offense's fault. Not the defense's fault. The defense could have helped us out a little bit with some of the third and longs, but you know what? That's going to happen. They're, you know, the Giants get paid too. The main thing that we need to look and we need to find right now, we need to find out right now, is Derek Carr that guy? Is he that guy when shit like this happens? Because it's very easy, because it's happened to us 2 years in a row where we've had a similar, around the same time of year, where it just all fell apart. And, you know, what we were saying for how long before this year started, just give us an average defense, which we are, and we'll win 12 games. Well, an average defense, and, you know, we lost to two teams. The last two losses, we shouldn't have lost, and that was the offense's fault. Yeah. The three losses, all three of our losses.
The defense has been consistent. Right,
they 24 points.
They haven't yet been spectacular. They haven't yet been atrocious. Was it the Broncos game? We had four turnovers. Like that was that was a big showing by our defense.
Well, the Broncos and the Eagles were good because they had those garbage points late, but we kept them under 20 points both those games.
Yeah, like the defense has been extremely consistent in what they are. Consistent pressure. Pretty good against the deep ball, not great against the run game. And they're going to hold offenses to roughly 20 points or less, right? I mean, the Giants scored 23, 7 of that was a pick six. They held the Giants to 16 points, right? I mean, that's what the defense is. It's the offense that's either sink or swim. That's either Carr throwing at like 92% accuracy or shitting the bed like he did today, right? It's either like scoring a bunch of touchdowns or floundering in the red zone. So it's like, you're right. Like this season and this team is going to live and die by how the offense chooses to perform, because the defense has been consistent and we know what they're going to do.
Defense is steady. They're steady. Mm-hmm. I just don't see. I don't see the Giants defense, especially their defensive coordinator, being this like mad scientist who's going to be able to like, oh, well, let's do this, and it's going to really mess up their car. No, they didn't do anything fucking spectacular. They just were playing tight coverage and not worrying about the deep passes going over their heads.
The Giants basically said, our DBs versus your receivers, and we're going to bet on our DBs.
Yeah.
And in the red zone, they were 100% right. Like, it worked perfectly. Can I just say, I went to the game. I'm here in New York right now. Just got back to the hotel, attended the game. And I was in a section where they're like, I kind of got a little mini black hole. Like There were a lot of Raider fans.
I saw it. I saw it on the stands. There was a lot of Raider fans there.
A lot of Raider fans.
How was the stadium?
It's a stadium.
Just a generic stadium.
It's New Jersey. Like, how nice can it be? You know what I mean? Like, it's smelling distance from Newark.
Hey, man, I've been to New Jersey, like near Philadelphia. I wish it was nice. Like,
compared to Oakland Coliseum, it's the Taj Mahal.
Like a Taj Mahal.
We'll put it that way, right? After going to all the Oakland games, felt like a 5-star hotel. But the Raider fans showed out. And because it's like, because normally, like, when you go to, when the Raiders go to, like, maybe a smaller market, like a Jacksonville or, I don't know, like Carolina or, you know, it's like Green Bay or something like that. Like, it's it's not uncommon to see Raider fans kind of take over a city or like take over parts of stadiums. Cause, you know, you got a couple thousand Raider fans in a small city, it blows up. Or New York City, we're in the biggest city in America. That train back to Penn Station full of Raider fans, and it was Raider fans spilling out into the streets. And it was a good like 30 blocks from Penn Station to where I'm staying. A lot of Raider jerseys, a lot of like Jacobs jerseys, a lot of Waller jerseys, a lot of silver and black. Raider fans showed out. And it's hard. It's like, it's New York City. A giant UFC was here last night. The New York Marathon was today. Like, there's so much going on. And still, like, you could tell Raiders were in town in a gigantic New York City. Props to Raider Nation.
I mean, we travel well, you know.
Yeah.
Dude, bro, you're right. Hey, man, if you were ever insecure about the size of your dick, don't fucking piss in the fucking Oakland Coliseum, dude. Because it's like you're just hanging dong right there in front of everybody.
Yep.
At least put some ice in that motherfucker. God damn. Cool that shit down.
Yeah, and I don't get to do my 5-year-old move where I pull my pants down all the way down to my ankles to take a pee. You know, like I like to
just unzip your shit.
I like to air everything out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like to like make sure that everything kind of cools down so I don't have sweat ass. But you can't do that at the Coliseum, right? You had to just like pull it out, take a piss because everyone's around. And also terrible trash talkers, Giants fans. Awful.
What did they say?
You suck. You're a bunch of criminals. You suck. F you. You suck. It's like, oh, that's it. That's what you got. Like, that's your trash talk at home. Like, we're in enemy territory. Like, I'm sitting there in enemy territory, surrounded by season ticket holders that are all Giants fans. It's like, you have the high ground. If we're in a fight, like, you're on the hill and I'm going up, and like that's what you got going for you, like that's your line. Now I get it, Giants were 2-6, and so it's like, how much trash talk can you do? Apparently not a lot, Soto.
Not much. A lot. It's I'm getting into that mode now, like mentally, where I have to shut down certain parts of my mind when it comes to the Raiders, because I won't be
so
able
many,
to function.
So be careful what you do.
It's true, and I had a lot of hits to the head.
Yeah,
I have to turn off certain parts of my brain when it comes to the Raiders, because of what's happened recently and not so recently, just in order to be able to function during football season. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like when you're one of those. Like, if you're on a, like a someone used to beat the dog, neighbor's dog, and you adopted them, and you yell for something across the room, even though you're not yelling and out of anger, but just the raised voice makes the dog cower.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I feel right now. I don't understand why we're playing this poorly in the red zone. What's changed since the previous weeks? What's different? Ruggs wasn't always on the field in the red zone. He was rarely on the field in the red zone. It was the bigger Edwards, it was Waller, it was Moreau, and it was the quick Renfro. Ruggs really wasn't on the field all that much. It's like, what's the difference? They're so bad, man. Look at some of these stats. All right. We had 24 first downs to their 16.
Yep.
We had 67 total plays. They had 54.
Yep.
Right. We had 403 total yards, and that's minus sack yards. Mm-hmm. And they had 245.
Yeah.
Both had 10 drives. We had 6 yards of play. They had 4.5 yards of play.
Daniel Jones had 110 yards passing. That's JV football numbers.
I mean, they weren't lighting the world on fire in the red zone, but they didn't have to. They threw a 30-yard touchdown pass, and they got a pick six. Everything else was the same thing we did.
Yeah.
But they kicked longer field goals because they weren't in the red zone. All of our field goals were like 33 yards and closer. Mm-hmm. That means they were in the red zone. They were like within the 10, 11-yard line at least.
Yeah. And still Carlton missed one.
What did you think about that missed one? What did you think about that
Carlson? Call? Like Carlson was lights out last season. God, he was so good last season. And this season, he's just kind of falling apart, missing extra points, missing chip shots.
What do you think about the call, though, to go to field goal instead of going for it?
It was what, four and three, right? Fourth and three?
Fourth and three on the seven.
It's 50-50 at fourth and three, right? Because it's supposed to be a chip shot, right? Like, as a coaching decision, you're like, okay, it's basically automatic. I'm generally, like, with how good or, like, how consistent our defense is playing, I like going for it. Because even if you miss, now they're on their own seven-yard line, right? They have to drive Daniel Jones, who threw for 110 yards, has now drive 93 yards to hurt you. Okay. And the run game was playing good. Their run game was doing all right. As every single team we play, they're going to have a decent run game. Devontae Booker, ex-Raider, like a Raider I loved last season, now with the Giants, he had almost 100 yards rush, yeah. 99 yards rushing, 4.7 like 26 yards
or 20-something receiving.
And he had a lot of receiving yards too. Like he had himself a damn good game. He had the best rushing game of his career, which is going to be happening to the Raiders semi-consistently. Raiders are going to have the best one.
Bro, I just can't. I can't believe this. 15 of 20 for 110 yards, a fumble, and they won the game.
Well, look, we rarely lose the turnover battle because, one, we've been super lucky with recovering fumbles. This was the strip sack to end the game was the first fumble we've had that we didn't recover. Think about that. It was game 8, almost halfway through the season before we lost a fumble. That's not sustainable. And I mentioned it. Well, we had this conversation like 2-3 games ago, right? So like one of the post game shows, I was like,
yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. We're like 8-for-8 and recovering our fumbles. Like that's awesome. Great job. Great hustle. I'm stoked. I'm glad that's happening. But it's like, we talk about all the time on this show is it's great when we get random, awesome stats, pick sixes, 3 sack games for Max Crosby. Like, oh, mwah, beautiful. Give those to me all day long. But what I want is consistency, consistent stats. And we've been great with our turnover ratios because we're lucky enough to recover all these fumbles and because Carr has been better at throwing picks until today than he has been usually.
Those two picks were bad, dude. Very bad.
Costly.
That first one? No, I'm talking about the throw. Like, it's one thing to get a ball tipped or your receiver doesn't run the right route and, you know, you miscommunicate and you throw a ball. That's one thing. But these were just bad throws.
Well, the one, two.
Yeah, Carl, we were talking about that. We were talking about that last week or the week before that it's going to even out sooner or later. We're going to start losing some of these fumbles and not getting them back.
So the silver lining, the good, some good parts of it. Our O-line improving every week when it really like fell apart in like week 4, week 5, I think it's gotten better ever since. Carr had a little pressure here and there. Other than that, he stayed pretty much upright. Run blocking was pretty good. The blocking for the screens were really good. I think we only had 2 penalties on our own line today, which might be a season low.
We had 6 total.
6 total. I think only 2 of them were O-line. So that's really damn good. O-line is improving. AJ Cole still crushing it. The Raiders came in full force into New York. Those are like the three things. Like those are the 2.5 things I think that the Raiders did really well today. And Josh Jacobs had the best game of his. He didn't get hurt. That's a big step for Josh Jacobs.
Well, I mean, he had to leave the game a couple times. But, yeah, you're right. For only 13 carries, which is about what I think he should get. Mm-hmm. He had about what, like 16 touches, 17 touches, something like that.
Yeah.
That's about right. You don't, you know, for Jacobs.
Yannick Ngakoue had 2 sacks, but that's kind of all he did.
That's all he did. Yeah.
Look, really it.
The if this is a wake up call game for them, and this, I just
spit it out, Soto. Spit it out.
It can't be a wake up call because it was one facet of the game that lost it for them, and that's red zone offense. Even with all the turnovers and all that shit, if they would have just scored a couple more touchdowns instead of all the field goals, and you know, if they would have gone two touchdowns or three out of six,
if half their red zone trips were touchdowns,
yeah, 3 out of 6, which is still not great, but you know, it's still at the lower part of the league. If they would have scored 2 more touchdowns instead of the field goals, 8 more points, it would have won the game. Mm-hmm. It's a mental thing, and I don't want this to turn into a beat up car session, because he didn't play well, and it's the first time he's played like this all year, even against, you know, the Chargers, and even against the Bears. He didn't play. He played maybe statistically worse, but he didn't play this bad as far as his inaccuracy. So I don't want to pile on him, but those things I really don't. The things that I was really concerned about Carr in the red zone, it just flashed again. He's risk averse. He doesn't want to, you know, throw it to tight windows. He's not anticipating throws for his receivers. You know, I don't get it, man. We regressed all the way back to last year. Before this year, all the way back into last year. That's where we are now. That's where we were today, offensively.
Well, I would say that the play action in the screen game was a big part of our offense that wasn't part of the Gruden part, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think that's not so much like, that's more play calling than like Carr's skills, you know? Like that's not so, you know, that's more Greg Olson flexing his muscle, or maybe it's Carr. Maybe it's Carr at the line of scrimmage, or Carr calling plays. Like that's, it certainly sounds like Carr has a, you know, much more, like a much, much bigger role in play calling. So whatever, whoever gets credit for it, I honestly don't care. But someone's making right decisions play calling wise. And like I said, it's those, again, another silver lining. It's those adjustments that Gruden didn't do. All right. Carr is off today, right? Doesn't have his glasses, whatever it may be. Let's make it easy on him. Play action, screen. Let's commit to Jacobs a little bit more. Let's get Kenyon Drake into open space, right? And we got a
delay. And that worked. And it worked.
Got into the red zone. It's just like, it's just for so many, for let's say like for any aspect of life, cooking, business, there's certain things that when they're going wrong, there's a standard issue formula to fix it. There's like, what's the book say, right? What's the book say? Oh, do having a problem with this? Then do that, right? Red zone, that doesn't exist. There isn't a like, okay, problems in the red zone, try X and then try Y and then try Z. It's just you're your own alchemist. Like you're mixing your own matches, you know? And so with that red zone, it's like, do you commit to one player? Do you just go jump balls? Is it a personnel switch? What is it? And no one has that answer.
I think the issue that I was seeing in the red zone is we weren't doing what we were doing throughout the entire game, this last 2 victories, which is let's put our best players out there and let's focus on what they do well. No fades to Waller, no fades to Edwards, no formation changes, no shifts to like isolate one player on one side of the ball and then, okay, we're going here, but you know, okay, stop it. This is how we're lined up. If you try to double this and stop this over here, this is what we have for you on this side. Mm-hmm. And there was none of that. I don't know,
you know,
man.
You know how the Chiefs are getting too cute, right? Like they're getting too cute with their offense, trying so many like reverses and no looks and all this stuff that it's kind of blowing up in their face. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the Raiders aren't cute enough. Like, remember that awesome little kind of like mini jailbreak that Bryan Edwards did on like the 2 yard line? You know, that was kind of cool, you know, basic premise, right? You have the outside receiver just motion inside, throw him a little like 1 yard pass, boom, he's in. Like, I think that there needs to be more of that at the red zone. And I'm the last guy that's like, let's get cute, creative, and get crazy, right? Normally it's just like bread and butter. We have the personnel, we have the scheme, execute it. I'd rather take the old Bruce Lee notion, right? I don't fear the man who's trained 1,000 kicks. I train the man who's trained one kick 1,000 times, right? Like, I'd rather just execute as opposed to get cute. But in the red zone, it's like, what else? What other choice do we have? Like, what we're doing isn't working. Like, get crazy with that playbook. Like,
I agree, man. Olsen, I've been saying this the whole time.
Olsen, Carr, Waller, Renfro, and Morrow, just get them all like smoking peyote together with a bunch of X's and O's. Just throw them at like a chalkboard and just start mixing shit up.
We have to do something because this can't continue. Because it's not, if we don't have the type of Ruggs type of player. Let's say Deshaun Watson, because we signed. Oh, it's Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Jackson. We signed Deshaun Jackson.
Done deal.
He's going to be a Raider.
3 hours ago. Done deal.
Yeah, as soon as the clock hit triple zeros, Mayock's like, all right, D-Jack, we need you.
Oh, he was on the phone this morning. You know it.
He was freaking FaceTiming him as soon as he saw what the offense looked like without Ruggs.
Let's talk about Deshaun Jackson here for a minute, because he's not exactly like our red zone fix. You know, he's like kind of a one-dimensional speedster. He's basically what Gruden made Henry Ruggs. Just kind of like go, decoy, pure speed, right? That's kind of what Deshaun Jackson is at, like, what, 35 now? Mm-hmm. He's not going to win a lot of 50-50 balls. Doesn't come in and out of breaks quite as well, but goddamn, he still has jets for a guy his age. He still can hustle. So he should, in theory, bring back that deep threat, open everything else underneath type of guy. And he's good. He's good for like a SportsCenter top 10, 50-yard catch a couple times a season. Like he can still do that. He did it for the Rams this season. Not often, but here and there. No. So he's still that, but and that's okay. Like, we're not going to replace Henry Ruggs after the trade deadline and just find a diamond in the rough. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, they're just not out there. Everyone's like, what about Odell Beckham Jr.? He sucked for a couple seasons. And I think his shoulder's still destroyed. He had a grade 3 sprain in his shoulder. I've done that before. You don't just bounce back right away from that. And also, our locker room, today wasn't a great example of it, but for all the shit that this team has been through, losing Henry Ruggs because he got his DUI, John Gruden getting fired, the way that he got fired. First openly gay player at the beginning of the season. Everyone's like, oh, it's going to be a distraction. It's going to be a distraction. The entire front office and team president getting fired. Like, this team has been through some shit. And what happens every single time these players get to a microphone? I have faith in each other. I have faith in us. We have the best coaches in the world. My quarterback's the best. My receiver's the best. My linebacker's the best. These are my best friends. These are my brothers. I love them. There's nothing we can't do. Every single goddamn time, it's just perfect chemistry in that locker room. And then you go and throw this like giant fart in the wind that is Odell Beckham Jr. into that. I don't want to risk it. It is a sensitive petri dish, our locker room right now. I don't want any drama guys in there right now, especially someone who may not be able to play well anymore, like OBJ.
I don't know, man. If we look this bad without a receiver that's respected, I mean, with any type of speed, if we look this bad, I'd say fuck it.
No, you said, look, the problems today that made us lose were not Ruggs' issues. Not having Ruggs doesn't make Derek Carr inaccurate. Not having Ruggs doesn't explain. Like, we don't need Ruggs.
I understand that. But he still had probably one of his worst yards per attempt. The way that the offense looked, it looked like a Gruden grinded out 8-minute drive offense. That's what it looked like. And that's what I'm saying. It just looked.
Yeah. And what I'm saying is it was that because Carr was inaccurate. And so they went to little short passes, play action, screen, mid-range things, Renfro with slants. That's why. I don't think that was – it didn't look like that was the game plan. Because they still had Carr throwing deep. But he missed.
OBJ is not a fucking option anymore. We signed DeSean Jackson, so.
Yeah.
So we have to move forward with that.
But again, I'm glad we got him. The parts of the playbook that were dependent on having a super speedster popping the top of it now is back in play with DeSean Jackson. But that this – of all the excuses this team has to pack it in and say, like, well, we can't win because of X, losing Henry Ruggs shouldn't be one of them.
No.
That's not it. Mm-mm. This team has overcome too much to say, like, well, we lost our Z receiver, so we're fucked.
We're hell screwed. No.
This team's overcome way too much. So, look.
Yeah. I mean, and DeSean Jackson can also get those cheap first downs because he's still super fucking fast.
Yeah.
And you still have to respect and give him that buffer. And he can, you know, throw a 5-yard pass and he'll get you 6, 7, 8 yards on first down. That threat is always there. He likes the shallow crosses. He likes to run those shallow crosses that the fuck's his name? Tyreek Hill runs. Yeah. He runs those too. He can run those stop routes where he's faking going deep and he just stops, comes back. A lot of stuff's in play for him. We'll just see how quickly he can assimilate into the offense. And if Carr, you know, gets over his yips, because those fucking – he was super inaccurate today. It was just – it was disheartening to see, because I knew probably in middle of the third quarter that we had a very slim chance of winning that game if Carr was going to play the way he kept playing.
He was scattered out really well, and they had the DBs, the right personnel to frustrate the looks.
They were missing three starters in the secondary.
They're missing a lot of starters. They were beat up, and this is the healthiest we've been all season. Other than our guys on injured reserve, everyone played.
It's like that. What's that line? I got good news and bad news. The bad news is all we have to serve you to eat is horseshit. The good news is there's plenty of it.
Yeah.
Ah, well, you know what? The good news is all our people are healthy. The bad news is they play like shit.
Yeah. Just put enough hot sauce on it. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
So the Raiders headed to New York and they leave. They head to New York 5-2. They'll leave 5-3, falling to the Giants 23-16. Giants now improved 3-6. It was a weird day. At least the Bills lost. The Bengals lost. Like basically every top AFC seed lost almost. Baltimore won.
The Bills lost to the Jags, man. Jesus.
9-6. What a barn burner that was.
Dude, the Browns said, fuck you, OBJ, and put up 41 today.
The downside, though, the AFC West all won. The Broncos smashed the Cowboys. That came out of nowhere. Kansas City barely scraped by Green Bay, and the Chargers barely scraped by Philadelphia. So the rest of the AFC West picked up wins. Raiders were the only AFC West team to lose. Luckily, none of those wins were like I don't know. Broncos winning. I think they're out of it. I'm not worried about it. It would have been really nice for the Eagles to get one on the Chargers. That would have been really nice.
Yeah, man. Extra points for pretty wins, man. We're still tied with the Chargers now. We were in the driver's seat.
Yeah. Yeah. The Broncos smashing on the Cowboys was something funny. Because yeah. I was surrounded by obviously Giants fans, NFC East guys, and they just like that was they were so stoked on it. All right, well, we got a big one on Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs we got them at home, I believe, right? This is the home game?
I believe so.
Sunday Night Football at home, prime time. Chiefs coming off a win. Raiders coming off a loss. hopefully this turns into a wake-up call and not momentum rolling downhill.
We're going to find out next week. Win or lose, I'm more concerned with how we play than the end result. Because if we played more like we played the last few weeks, okay, that was just a blip. Carr, maybe it was over-emotional. Something happened. He was super inaccurate for whatever reason. He gets back on track. But if we play like shit again, it's like, oh, brother, here we go again.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back on Wednesday with our regular show. We'll obviously have a post-game show. It'll be a late one next week. It'll be after the Sunday night game. Feel the hurt. Do a pity party for one day. And then it's game face. It's back to work. It's Chiefs week. It is Kansas City fucking Chiefs week. Game faces. Until then, knock on wood if you're with me.